I can't imagine anyone of the ancient world, of the prehistoric world, of the medieval period, any period before the modern world, they would see all this and they would be like, where did we go wrong, you know?
What happened?
What happened to us? We, you know,
why is everybody enslaved and imprisoned now?
Yeah. Oh, and of course, the slavery of the modern world, it was a racialized, just you know, kind of ownership of people that it never really, you know, this idea that slavery is all the same, it's always existed, blah 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 blah. It's not true. In the modern period, the slavery was horrifically worse in lots of ways. There was no path to freedom, not at least in the way that, you know, a slave in the Roman world was kind of a part of the family. And I mean, that's a generalization, because there were slaves who were driven in horrific mines and dangerous jobs and stuff. It's not, I don't mean to be too general here, but I mean, if you compare the two, they really don't stack up to the, you know, the modern period. Is terrible, just terrible. You cannot be an honest historian and say that things are getting better. You have to really cherry pick your statistics and pick facts that paint a false portrait of the modern world. It's just been the worst period yet. And when people say that, oh, aliens are advanced technologically, so they must be advanced spiritually and morally, it's like they're drawing the opposite lesson that you should out of history.
Speaking of spiritual and moral advancement, I wonder what they would think of the shit between Kanye and Trump, if they could see, like, oh wait, this is what happens in the end. It's like, what?
I don't know. So I have the balls, because I have enough balls to put on this hat. I mean, this Adidas thing made me a billionaire, and I could have lost $200 million walking away from that deal.
But even with that, I knew it was more important for me to take the chance of walking away from that deal than to have no.
You don't hear.
I hear some yelling, but what's Ye saying?
He's saying that it takes balls to wear this hat, the Make America Great Again hat.
Oh, because people don't like it.
Yeah, but where is he saying it? He's in the Oval Office, sitting right in front of President Trump, dude.
Having a
sit-down conversation. He's just raving at him, though. And the whole time, Trump is sitting there not saying anything. If people don't have land, they Kanye says lands. Everything.
We want Polo Sport and Obama again. We want a brand more than we want land, because we haven't known how it feels to actually have our own land and have ownership of our own blocks. So when you don't have ownership, then it's all about how something looks. It's about the patina. It's not about the soil. It's not about the core. So we focus more on, is somebody wearing something? Does someone just...
You know, it's like, why, dude? And why is he talking at the president, like with an audience at the president, and why is this what he's saying? It doesn't make any sense, right?
Not Kanye West, known as a very coherent guy, though.
So they would, like, the lords of the land back in the day would look at the president and be like, why is he letting that, you know, that court jester talk to him that way, that fool? Why isn't he crushing that fool?
I think they would look at it and say, they would probably have something that would disturb us to say that, it was a very anti-democratic moment in time. You got to understand that they did not have any of this humanistic notion that, oh, it's legitimate government derives from the people and their votes. No, it would be legitimate government derives from God and the divine right of kings, right? And that's not something I want to say that I believe in. And I don't. But, you know, they would see our government today and be kind of shocked, I think.
What is what was their favorite drug back then?
This is one of the things that you would have missed if you didn't know about disenchantment, ergotism. You know about that?
You mean witchcraft?
No, ergotism is what happens when you eat bread that has been infected with ergot.
Yeah, which is the witches come out.
The LSA.
It brings out the witches.
You can actually get an acid-like trip off of moldy bread.
That's what happened in Salem, right?
I don't think so, but
they were eating some moldy bread. It was moldy bread season, and then they'd be like, "Yo, something is definitely happening."
Disenchantment. I don't know about in Salem. I don't think that's what happened there. And in fact, let's face it: the witch craze was not a thing that happened in the medieval world. The witch craze was of the modern period. That didn't happen until, say, 1500, when there was this great concern for heresy that was not directed by the church, and worried about the people following the correct doctrines and dogmas. This was the nation states that were rising. Not only did they take control of militaries and create standing armies and build these prisons and stuff like that, but they also took control of the church's powers and used it to their own ends. And that's where you have the witch crazes, the Spanish Inquisition, which was a movement against the converted Jews who had become Christian by force of conversion, who were suspected of not being legit. And it was a lot like the Holocaust and other later persecutorial systems, a moment where it was all about seizing power, especially finances, because the Jews had been set up as the only bankers that were allowed. They were a major kind of courtiers, you know, people who did the books for the and all the little things that the monarchs needed done.
And this is the anti-Semitic.
Yeah, anti-Semitism existed in the medieval world, and there were pogroms, and especially during times of plague, when they blamed the Jews on that. And, you know, this has roots into the medieval world and before that even. But during the modern period, it turned into systematic kind of persecution. And before, you know, the medieval world, you know, just wasn't like that. And yeah, it wasn't innocent, but it wasn't a systematized government policy to persecute people. And, you know, I think Disenchantment as a show is very hip to all of this, and you'll miss a lot of the subtleties of the show if you don't have this kind of college level medieval history. And I think you probably got some of that in college, right?
Not really. The most I ever got was from 7th grade world history.
Which, let's face it, that's a fucking lie. It's like Bizarro World when you get to the college level shit. Because you hear about how awful and torturous and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I've heard so many people say, "Oh, well, we better be thankful for the modern world because 500 years ago it would have been horrible."
Yeah. like, just the passage of time itself has is what's to thank, and not the fact that it's misremembered, and that's to whose benefit, you know? It's just whoever's in power.
Let's face it, the liberalism, which is the humanistic view of what place government has, and humanism itself, on what the optimism of the human's ability to do good without the need for religion or, you know, all that, has set us on this path where we're too optimistic. We have no restraint. Anything that we can invent, atom bomb or whatever, is good in and of itself because it's progress.
Yeah, so right? We just do it.
We just do it, and we ask questions later and feel guilty later and tell ourselves that it's all progress. And that you'll hear this often, kind of, this is all well encapsulated in the Silicon Valley ideology, where it's a disruption. We're going to disrupt things for the sake of progress. And always this means human suffering for the profit of some small elite who has financial, economic, technological type power, you can say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just weird, man. Because that's
the nail on the head, right?
What do you say?
This whole system has been set up to benefit a very few people, and it's very deceptive. It tells us it's progress, and meanwhile, progress just means these few people. Profit.
Well, that's not what Yeezy was saying today to the president.
He's a, you know, like a lot of people out there today, he's totally clueless. He has no historic context. In fact, he has the exact opposite of the correct historic context.
He wears it on his hat. Hey, Yeezy, what do you think about medieval world? Is it misremembered? Well, you want to defer to him real quick and see what he has to say?
Why is Yeezy...
What?
Why is he a fascist? That's a good question.
Wait, Yeezy, and you'll answer.
Why is Trump a fascist? Why is there a fascist surge in Brazil? Why is the whole world, not America, not here or there, but essentially the whole world, you know, this is a global...
This is a big question.
Fascism.
Let him answer the question.
Why is that happening?
Let him answer the question.
Okay. Play it
amending. Also, at that point, it was illegal for blacks to read, or African Americans to read. And so that meant if you actually read the amendment, you get locked up and turned to a slave. Again, so what I think.
Strong words.
What did he even say? I can't hear you.
He said you'll get
it, like it cuts out.
He said you'll get locked up and turned into a slave.
For what?
He's got his hands over his ears right now.
For speaking his mind, for free speech.
I had a 75 percentile of all human beings, but it was counting eight numbers backwards off there as repeating, so I'm going to work on that one. The other one's 98%, Tesla, Freud, you know, so...
Oh, he compared himself to Tesla and Freud. He says he was in the 98th percentile. He said Tesla. He said Freud.
Yeah, I know he's an egomaniac, but that's really far aside from what I was talking about.
But still, these people, their worlds would never intersect in the medieval world.
Sure, they could. I mean, there was absolutely a kind of cosmopolitan world in the medieval, you know, the for instance, the overseas empire of the French and the Norman French especially, who not only conquered many parts of the Mediterranean and had overlaps with them, and there was no sense of racial superiority whatsoever, and there would be no kind of let's put it this way. The idea of white superiority as a race is totally and utterly tied to the humanist scientific view of race, and even later on Darwin, and it totally is used to justify slavery. And that's especially English Anglo angle. The Spanish and Portuguese particularly had enough influence from the Catholic Church to where, oh, absolutely, the native people and the African people and people everywhere are human. And meanwhile, elsewhere, where humanism and science maybe it was more emphasized, and it wouldn't be science at that time, but humanism especially, who opened the window for the argument that, hey, maybe these are subhumans.
Maybe they are less than us.
Yeah.
Maybe they are subhuman scum and should be eradicated from the face of the earth.
Well, often, you know, for instance, Thomas Jefferson, he put a little angle on it, like, oh, well, they're dumb at most everything, but they're better at music, right?
He called it that jungle beat.
Well, we know where he put his sperm in.
Yeah, he had jungle fever. And was raping his slaves. It was the only satisfaction, the jungle fever at that time.
I've heard from people in Charlottesville that it's a real kind of...
Is it a sore spot for him?
No. In fact, if you're a black person with slightly red hair, you're... they all brag about being related to Jefferson.
Whoa, dude. I remember reading the slave narratives, and they would write how if they were out in town and they were near their car or whatever, and they encountered another group of slaves that worked for another landowning white, that they would banter back and forth about whose master had more money, you know, who's treated them better, like who had the fancier master.
I never heard about that.
And that would be a point of, you know, like pride and conversation between the slaves.
Interesting.
But I can't remember why I said that now. Because you said something weird.
Well, we got off on
about the red hair and that they would brag about.
We got off on this stupid tangent about racism as a purely modern phenomenon, which
they were bragging.
Started with me trying to explain why there's this global wave of fascism, which, yes, race has a lot to do with it, but more importantly, the economics of it. That's what I wanted to talk about, is that you have an economic system where property is natural right, and it's the supreme natural right. We also have political rights and democracy to legitimize the system of property, but at the end of the day, the great liberal thinkers always said, well, if this democracy that we set up should threaten the property of individuals, that is, become socialist and tax the rich and redistribute the wealth in an unnatural way, then a strongman or a dictator is totally acceptable. And in fact, the emergency provisions in the German government for a guy like Hitler were there by design. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't an exploitation. That was what was supposed to happen.
Right.
And we so often get this wrong lesson and listen to who it's coming from, that, oh, what happened was a breakdown in liberalism and it was totally illiberal. Well, that might be, you can say that's true, but at the end of the day, it's also what exactly what was a lot of the liberals at the time wanted and thought was good. They didn't appease Hitler because they were afraid of him. They appeased him because they thought he would keep the communists at bay. This is very clear in the history, and yet when you if you read the textbooks, you get this kind of alternate history that's written by the people who want to keep their money and not get taxed. It's so clear if you just get that college level stuff.
Their problem.
Nobody does.
Their problem.
Nobody has this historic context, so we're, you know, we're living through last century again, and it's going to erupt into a horrible war real very soon. There's too much money at the top. Everything is about to topple over.
Their problem with Hitler was not that he was killing millions of people.
Well, that was not really reported until the war was over. That was later on.
But like you said, that was the point.
30s. No, no. That's the point. That's what we remember in retrospect. But before all that,
they didn't like him though, because he would lay around on drugs.
Well, and then that's more after the fact stuff. You look at the press coverage of Hitler, it's gonna look a lot like. It's going to look very familiar. It's not going to look like what we get in the history in retrospect at all.
It'd be like, wow, can you believe it? This guy's saving all our problems. Holy shit.
Yeah, he's fixing the economy. Look at him. He's a strong man who's coming in and fixing the economy. We've got too much democracy. And what we need is a strong man to set everything straight. And that's what... And not only that, but he's going to keep the communists away.
He's going to stare at him with his cold eyes and shoot him back up to Soviet.
He's the strong man buffer we need to keep communism out. You know, so in retrospect, you always hear the history is written by the winners. That's true. It's also written by the powerful. And that's even more true. And this is something that always strikes me as really just kind of this is what a lot of propaganda and bad ideas are built out of facts, and they're just strung together in a way that's misleading and that gives you the opposite of the story that you should learn, that the truth, that the narrative that has a kind of truth to it is made of facts, but so is the lies and propaganda can be made of fact.
It's it can be presented, and
it's just all the way you put it together. And you gotta, the thing that I always notice is when people are forcing facts together that don't fit together, that's what you got to pay attention to. Not whether the
conspiracy.
Each fact is individually true or not. Yeah, that's right.
That's conspiracy tards.
Is a bunch of facts that have been forced together into a picture that is not coherent, really. It has a bunch of facts, but it doesn't have a truth, you know?
There's China finally acknowledged that they've got these re-education camps where they were putting a certain group of people.
Sure, and we got, you know, what that, you know, I see that in the media, and all I can think about is the family separation shit. Okay, and you bring that up in the right wing media, what do you see? Obama did it too.
Yeah.
And okay, there's a fact, but what's the truth to that?
The truth is whoever writes something like that is that's what they want to happen.
Yeah, no shit. Obama did it too. Well, I'm against it either way.
Yeah. Oh, Obama was ripping kids apart from their moms.
Listen, I'm not Obama. What's the point that I worship Obama? It's not true.
Well, look, if they were ripping kids away from their parents when Obama was doing it, and there was all that screaming and crying, no idea what happens tomorrow, then I'm for it. Since Obama did it.
Right. And another thing that gets me is the just the militarism of Trump and how he was able to sell himself as a peace camp, peaceful guy.
Hey man, it's chill. We're just throwing people in re-education camps. What are you worried about?
Yeah, I haven't read into the stuff too much. I just know that they have...
But I thought of the same thing. I thought of the kids getting ripped away from their parents,
Why
too.
Why is that in our media? That's not our problem.
Right.
What are we going to do? Go to war with them? I mean, Christ.
That's what it
ultimately I see in written writ large there. It's not that, we care about the Uyghurs. No. It's that we are in this horribly destructive trade war, which is only escalating, and ultimately there's a conflict on the horizon, and sooner rather than later, there's just too much money at the top everywhere.
When I was in college, I took a Chinese politics course, and
yeah, you're an expert on this. I may have said everything backwards.
I am
right.
I'm actually a professor in this regard.
Yeah.
I give lectures.
Yeah.
And
well, let's hear it.
They were saying that that like first of all that stuff you said is right, but that if there ever comes a conflict between the two powers, it will be, you know, it'll be obviously under the condition of trade, and it'll happen like the theater of that conflict will be the South China Sea.
Right, and that already we're doing what the aliens are doing. We're doing flybys, drive-bys.
Shit testing.
Threats, right? Yeah, shit testing.
Real close. Getting real close sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and it's the same model. There's camps, internment camps for people you don't like in either country. And there's trade war at the top, and then there's all the guts of it in the middle.
And these kind of persecutorial systems are, of course, they're an artifact of the modern era. They're, start with the Spanish Inquisition, you could say, or prefigured elsewhere also, but they didn't exist before 1500.
And I think a conflict that large would be too large for that time. Like, this conflict is so large that it couldn't possibly have existed in 1500.
Oh, well, not only that, but listen, they love to settle things with ritual, with marriage, with desultory, the idea of open conflicts, total war, attacking citizens and civilians. Yeah, cities got sacked, but they weren't bombed, burned all up in a moment with millions. No. And there is a danger here that we're romanticizing bygone days.
That's what I'm doing.
Well, mainly I just wanted to say that there were some cool, subtle things that you might have missed and disenchantment.
That's a long roundabout way of bringing me on board of this TV show, but it does bring me one step closer to appreciating it.
Did you see the one where she escapes her dad and goes to stay at someone's house?
Unless it was one of the first two episodes. I did not.
They show her that kind of hospitality.
Right.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I used to wonder about that story. They said that if you ignore a man that comes up to your door and he needs food and a place to stay, that might be just some lazy old bum, but it also might be Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
And that's even a kind of, what do you call it? That's been watered down even a little bit. No, if he is poor, he is Jesus Christ. There's no might be to it.
It was a shit test.
The poor is the sacred directly and with no kind of...
When I was a kid going to church, I would hear that and just laugh. Like, right. Yeah, as if. Not helping fucking bum.
No, think about it. We can put people out on the street and assume they'll be okay. I mean, they can go in a garbage can and have a meal for weeks, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't always the case, though.
Right. Because food was, like, separated.
Yeah, no, there weren't garbage cans full of food. People ate everything, and, you know.
You wouldn't find even bones out there to gnaw on.
No, they would boil those and drink all the liquid, right?
So you couldn't just go out there and find a half-eaten bag of Doritos.
No, you would, putting someone out for the night would be like killing them almost.
Yeah, you're going to put me out in the elements?
But at a certain point, when capitalism, the modern world, the nation state kicked in, you also see the demonization and marginalization of the poor and of women and of the creation of races, the idea of biological inferior races. And you see all these really negative changes that have to do with the, you know, that's the modern world. And it's just been a terrible barbarity and backsliding. I'm not going to even say backsliding. This is progress, right? It's just being more barbaric, more vicious, more hateful. And that's what we here at the Chronicle and us aliens want to speak out about, the hate.
This is...
hate is all around us. This is the modern world.
It's a sort of...
it's the state of affairs.
Tesla coil of hate. The hate is in the air around you.
The hate coil. It's delivered directly to your house.
And from there, you can hook it up to your at-home singularity kit and right into your brainstem. And project it onto the fucking television for the rest of the family to enjoy.
Now, Hitler... What did he do? And Mussolini, they installed radios into everybody's house that you could only listen to one station on it.
Give them a nice radio.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They would have... What do you think they would have thought of Facebook? Right? What do you think they would have thought of the internet? They wouldn't have thought, oh, this is going to set us all free. I thought, no, this is going to make me so powerful. I'm going to tell the biggest, fattest lies.
And I'm going to have that lie in.
What they want to hear.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that the government's bad and that there's no redeeming it. And they're all going to vote for me. And then by the time they all hate me, it's going to be too late for them.
People don't want to look down at their phones and be challenged by it and have their views like challenged, where they have to sit there with it for a minute and read it. Like, oh.
No.
They want to look down and see, oh, that's what I fucking already thought. That's what I already thought. And see that in their hand and be like, fuck yeah. I knew that. That's the lie I want to hear.
And the thing about phones is, it's cheaper than ever. They don't have to run a printing press. They don't have to broadcast at a bajillion watts and have a big tower and audio engineers and all that. No. That was so much more effort. Now, it's low effort. In fact, they've got plenty of people willing to do it for them for free, such as Russian intelligence, such as bored housewives, yeah, bored guys at work who just are sitting around in their office.
We watched that woman together.
Yeah, they're her.
They she approached a lady. The news approached
Joseph
her.
Goebbels, when you got Grandma No Job.
Grandma No Job was standing in her yard like, I wasn't never talking in no Russians. And they were like, yeah, yes, you were. This person, this account, was someone at the Kremlin.
She goes, not only was she talking to Russians, but she was doing her own stuff on the side. That's what she's mad about, is because it was her own goddamn propaganda efforts. And just because she had some Russian help and cooperation doesn't mean she shouldn't get credit. That's right. Why she's so damn mad.
I never talked to no Russians. All that was my idea.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, no, but they wanted you to do it, and you did it. I never talked to Russians.
Yeah, she's just like, Russia? No, this is America. And what is it? And she's right, too, I think.
The Russians?
You know, CNN looks to make her a fool, but at the same time, look, there's a million women out there and men out there like that who are propagandists, who are manipulators, who are just doing... trying to, you know, I don't know.
I wasn't talking to no Russians. I was on Facebook. A guy named Mike. I was on Facebook. No, it was Russia. Yeah, but, it just so happens that so many... Dude, it's so fucking funny, right? That all these, right-wing, super right, like, I think of like dudes that wear flannel from the 50s and they've got like traditional values and beat their wives. Those kinds of dudes that would fucking, that like their grandpa pappy fucking fought communism 2 wars ago and they fought communism in the last war. Like that, the people that still have those values, like Russia, who cares about Russian influence? Who cares about Soviet Union, you know? As if, it, you know, like, that's still alive. But it's like, you know, it's like they just took out that gene that says, you guys don't trust Russians.
Well, what's happened is that I think first of all, Russia is no longer communist. It was, I think, the first kind of really neo-fascist state to establish itself, and this was done purposefully because of CIA influence that influenced backed all the right wingers, and they gutted the Soviet system and sold it off to a few private businessmen,
a few good men.
We call them, what do we call them?
Good old, oh right, kleptocrats. I was going to say good old boys, but kleptocrats is what you call
them. Right. We can call them neo-fascists, and we got a kleptocrat in office here in the U.S., and it's a goddamn surprise to me he hasn't already sold off all the public socialist programs and bought them, you know, sold them off all to Ivanka for a dollar, right?
Ivanka.
That's kind of his, you know, the big story in the New York Times is like, it's... It's his dad just gutting the socialist institutions of the U.S. and passing it on to his family illegally, right? And that's the pattern that was set, and it's continuing. And there's a lot of continuity. You log on to, you know, Reddit or Twitter and see the left-wing view on this, and they act like this has happened all overnight. It happened when Trump was elected and everybody cried, right?
Yeah, I mean...
No, this has been ongoing.
It's going on, baby.
I think you can paint that picture that suddenly Trump caused all this, and that's... It's a good picture to... You know, it shows what's happening, and it may be factually true that Obama did it, that Clinton did it, that George Bush did it, and you go back and back, but I think the truth that this has all happened and suddenly everybody realizes it, that's important too. That's more important than trying to say, oh, this is the status quo, live with it. No, I won't.
You're going to refuse and resist?
This neoliberal world has created a crisis where we want a neo-fascist strongman to fix everything.
You mean like President Trump?
Exactly. Like President Trump, like the guy running in Brazil, I don't know his name.
Oh, he's like a fascist.
Like the five point, what is it called?
His dudes were attacking journalists today.
Like in Italy, like Putin, like...
them austerity measures did not serve Italians.
In Poland, and all over the place. This global wave of fascism is an economic bulwark against democracy and against socialism. And it's there, not as a liberal thing. It's there just as the logical conclusion to neoliberalism. To private, yeah, exactly.
There's some good old boys sprouting up out here, one after another. And it's a wave. Steve Bannon was saying that you can look and see the way Trump got elected, and you can see that that's happening elsewhere. It's like being replicated out in the wild, different countries.
And it's Trump didn't start it, and he's not going to end it.
It's just, it does have that recognizable sort of tint to it. It's got like a Trump, an orange tint to it.
He's turned into the poster boy for it, though, the icon of neo-fascism, and, you know, it's not going to... You know, I think back to George W. Bush and how he says, oh, history is going to judge me favorably, right?
Right. Maybe he wasn't wrong.
Well, he's already been proven right, because, look, all the... Democrats look back at him with rosy tinted glasses, like, oh boy, that wasn't so bad. Like,
mission accomplished.
Really much worse. Yeah.
Nothing is so bad that he did. He made such reasonable speeches and stuff compared to where the bar has been set now.
Listen, right now, Donald Trump could take a shit in front of everybody. Let's bend over and take a shit.
Donald Trump is going to pull a full G.G. Allen.
Yeah, no, that's what he does every day. It's just total vulgarity. There's no class.
Right.
He's low class.
He's cheap.
Vulgar, cheap, a crook.
Somebody was saying how when he first got elected, somebody pointed out to me that that Trump's Twitter account resembled the appearance of the Twitter accounts of Russia, and also that it was like cheap looking and extravagant, and the way that stuff is decorated in Russia too.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, I mean, that vulgar kind of nationalist, you know, you got the flags and the smiling crowds and all, it's just anyone who is fooled by that, you know, I don't want to say they're stupid, but
some good old boys out there. We don't want to denigrate
so
no good old
cheap
boys.
Cheap and vulgar, right? You know?
You know, some people just have different definitions of class, man. For me, that's ripping kids away from their mothers.
And you want to talk about class? He goes out and says, well, Nikki Haley's quitting, and I think Ivanka would be great. And not only does he say that, but he says nepotism like 10 times, right? He's nepotism.
He says it.
Put Ivanka in.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Here's your nepotism, people. This is what you voted for.
King Trump.
You voted for a strong man who's going to, you know,
He'll kick those dirty scapegoats out. That's for sure. He's rounding up them scapegoats right now, about sending them off to camps. Nothing I hate more than the sight of a scapegoat when I'm out just trying to shop for tomatoes with my family. You know what I'm saying? And I say, you and me, we get in my pickup truck later, we go around and round us up a couple scapegoats and show them what's what. Show them how we do it in neoliberal conclusion. United States of neoliberal conclusion. What the fuck, dude?
What do you think's next?
Well, neo-fascism, right?
Well, what is that going to look like?
Ooh, I think there's going to be a lot more people in cages by the time it's all said and done.
You think it'll be, you know, I said earlier that Putin's Russia is the neo-fascist vanguard, and that what he's got going on there...
What's he cooking?
I mean, you've seen.
What kind of geese is he cooking up?
Well, I think it's illegal to be gay, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think they don't like black people there.
Yeah, and if you protest, you'll be poisoned, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just...
I think that's coming to the U.S. of A. Polonium.
Well, Trump's response to this Khashoggi guy, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, well, you know, we've got business interests there. I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
That's what it was. We got too much money on the line. That's what he said.
He was a problem person. We had a stake in it.
Vulgarity. That's what that is. It's like, forget about principles.
It's profane.
Money.
It's profane. Vulgarity. It's vulgarity. And it's money. On the Internet Chronicle, I'm HateSec. It's been Wild Bill Kilgore. I think we should call it there.
Dude, we've gone on way too long. If anyone listened to all that, you know, I'm sorry.
No, we man. Went, you've unlocked an achievement.
We started with talking about a Matt Groening cartoon.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys don't appreciate
I think
that
we took
much.
We take cartoons and a little too seriously.
We took you from a naive idiot who thinks that
a fool
bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki was a good thing that saved lives. We took you from there, from that sad ignorance,
saved lives,
to a woke beyond belief, to the point where you see that the world in front of you has been totally constructed by the rich and powerful. Your mind has been manipulated and controlled, and the truth is, go fuck yourselves.
You're the mayor of Wokesburg on AM Hate Radio 960. This is brought to you proudly by Liebel Droker Incorporated, who brought you such wonderful superior products as the Mind Over Matter At-Home Singularity Kit, the Panoptosphere, TerraMax, and as always, a special thanks for creating that drug back in the day to Dr. Angstrom, H. Troubadour. That's the hate show.
That's true.